To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the board meeting, December the 23rd, 2020. Is there any changes to the agenda? I have none.
No, I don't have any.
We'll meet.
Who might have changed?
Meet with department head and elected official. Terry Johnson.
Good morning. We're busy and we still are taking applications for the payroll deputy position. We'll be taking applications until December the 30th at 4:30.
You say you've got some already?
Yeah, we have received a few, so. We're just looking for the right applicant, so.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Colin Gertz, IT.
Just working on our budget and keeping busy like always. Other than that, nothing to report, so.
Squeaking that budget down, are you?
Yeah, trying to.
Thanks for calling. Rodney Leisner, the maintenance.
Good morning. Same thing, just working on the budget stuff and keeping busy. Nothing new to report, though. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Brian Carter, secondary roads.
Good morning. We took bids for the Flint Bottom paving project last Tuesday and had great competition. And low bid was just a little under $2 million. So that was, that's under our engineer's estimate. And like I said, we had great competition. So that always shows you that you were in the area. So that's a good thing. Ongoing, Highway 99 project, the bridge project is moving on. They got the footing and the stem poured last week. So they're waiting on some cure time and doing what they can right now and just kind of starting to work on the abutments and starting to work on the cofferdam for the other pier that's on the other side of the creek. So they are continuing to make headway on that. We're out trying to use these last couple, appears to be the last couple warm days, try to do some blading. You know, we had a good enough assortment of potholes after that last rain that I don't think we'll quite get to all of them, but I think the guys are getting touched up and trying to do what we can before we freeze up. We're gonna freeze pretty solid tomorrow or Thursday. And I would be shocked if that doesn't kind of mark the end of much for blading weather for a while, but we'll just, time will tell. But they are trying to do that and we're still ditching. That may also mark the end of that come here. But it's the middle of December, latter part of December, and you're still doing a little bit of blading and a little bit of ditching, and that's pretty rare. So we'll take it. And the guys are actually still doing culverts. They did a pretty major crossroad culvert, finishing it up today. So we're making the most of the mild weather, I guess.
Good.
When you when they get through with that bridge, you dig up that extra dirt that's piled up around the, or you just let the water wash it away?
Well, actually, some of the dirt you see down there was left by the crew that was doing the Burlington Waterworks project. So it kind of depends on which dirt you're talking about. So our contractor will leave the site in good shape, in good condition. And it's possible some of what Waterworks, that crew, it wasn't Waterworks, it was their contractor, may get shaped up as part of our project. But yeah, when our crew's done, we'll come in, we'll do the riprap they need to do. They'll leave the channel in good condition and all that sort of stuff. And since, of course, it'll be next year before it's done, things will be seeded and stuff like that. So in general, the site's left in good shape from the end of a construction project. So.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
We'll save you the last, Krista, because you'll give us an update on the COVID then, okay. Sheriff Johnstone.
Good morning, Jim. The sheriff-elect and I have been working on our transition plan and moving well ahead on that. Enjoying my last couple of weeks in office, enjoying doing some things I love to do, and looking forward to that end of the month when Kevin takes over and know that we're all gonna be in really good hands. So it's just a good time and slowing down a bit and handing everything over to Kevin. So doing well.
Okay, well, thank you. Kevin, do you have any response?
Well, I think the sheriff has us well prepared, so I think it's a testament to what he's done over the years to have us in the position we are in. Not that we won't have a lot to learn moving forward, but I think we're very comfortable with what's to come, and I think it's a lot to do with what he's done over the years to prepare us and get us ready and just build up the sheriff's office to what it is now. I would just add that we continue to take applications for an open deputy position. We'll look to fill that after the first of the year. We'll take those through December 30th and have a testing in January. And then other than that, things are going really well at the sheriff's office and at the jail. Our numbers are trickling down just a little bit. We're at 76 and we're still waiting on three spots between the halfway house and Oakdale. And we should see those numbers come down today. We should be moving some out. So, and 9 of those are adults out of county right now.
Wow. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Chris DePuymiller, Public Health.
Good morning. We continue to be busy. Currently, our 7-day percentage is 8% of positivity for COVID, which is 94 cases. I shouldn't say only, but it's 94 cases in the last 7 days. Which has come down tremendously. Everyone's really want to thank the community and all their mitigation efforts. They're really following, wearing masks and staying home when they're sick and socially distancing. The 14-day rate's 12% with 194 cases. Total year to date, we have 3,369 cases total. I'm sure you've all heard that the vaccine has started to roll out, and so last week the hospital started giving theirs. We've been working with our healthcare partners. In phase 1A, it'll be essentially the frontline workers, which will be the doctors, the nurses, the folks that work direct or indirect with people who have either had COVID or are positive for COVID or come in contact with infectious materials. So we're working very hard to get those vaccinated. As soon as the vaccines come in, we're trying to get those vaccines given. So it's exciting that we're moving forward, and hopefully soon when we'll move towards the next phase of the vaccine and distribution.
That vaccine, they rolled it out so fast, back like polio, when they came out with that vaccine, how long did that take them? Do you remember? Or you wouldn't remember?
I wouldn't remember, but no. Yeah, and I don't know. I would not. I think that, time-wise, it did move a lot faster, the vaccine for COVID. But I think, it did not, they didn't shorten up any of the testing or any of those type of things. I think a lot of that was just decreasing some of the time frame and the paperwork and getting those approvals done. So they still did all the safety standards. The FDA gave emergency use authorization, and so they did study the data that was there, and there was significant amount of data that they reviewed. So I don't think there's anything different as far as the safety. It's just a matter of they were able to get it through for emergency use authorization much faster because it is a pandemic.
Well, the COVID virus has been around for a long time.
It
so
has.
So they've been studying it.
It has. So. And a lot of the technology they're using, this mRNA, they've been studying that for about 10 years. So they just have not been using this for vaccines up until this point. But it's not a new technique. They've been working on this for some time. So, And you're right, the umbrella of the COVID viruses, have been around for a long time. They just are different versions.
Well, thank you for all your work, and I know you had some probably calls in the middle of the night.
Thank you. Yep, it's been busy, but
yeah. That's
what we're here for.
We do appreciate it.
Thank you.
The 21 days and 28 days on that, is it because if they give you the full dose of it, or is it because why? Why, I guess, I'd like to know why.
So, it's my understanding is because when you give the first dose, you build up a certain amount of antibodies, and then it kind of builds up on those antibodies. So, you know, having those two steps in the antibodies to give you that protection. They say after the first dose, you get 50% protection, and after the second dose, depending on which vaccine it is, 7 to 14 days after the second dose, you have that 100% immunity.
Okay, so somebody like me that had the COVID, I got to wait 90 days. Well, that might be a good thing for me because everybody else is in the test market for this then.
Well, and you know, they've given a lot of this vaccine already, so
yeah.
You know, very limited. Yeah. And obviously anyone who has any reactions, there's actually a system that anyone who's administering this vaccine has to put in any side effects or anything. And it's the Vaccine Administration Adverse Effects, the VAERS website. And so that's part of the agreement as being a vaccine provider, that we would put that in there. So anything, any vaccine reaction anyone has would be definitely noted. And as you've heard, probably there's been a few people that have had some reactions, and they're very public, so.
So the little tracking device that they're putting in everybody with this shot, is that gonna come, or will that come the first shot or the second?
You know, there's lots of myths out there. I, you know, with the pandemic, really encourage people, when you get the opportunity to go the COVID vaccine,
it is safe. I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, absolutely. There's lots of things on Facebook these days, but there's a lot of myths out there. But
Jim and I both had the lecture.
Yeah, we both had a lecture. This lady gave us a lecture, said they're putting that little chip. It'll go through, it's microchip. That's why they're putting almost 5G around. Then they can track you and follow you.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, stupid. Internet.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Krista.
You're
Do you have any correspondence, anybody?
I might have three more on here.
Got people online now.
Oh, sorry about that.
It's all right. First one I got is Chris Lee, Conservation.
Chris Lee, Conservation.
Good morning. Just kind of business as usual, working into winter mode here, working on firewood and equipment and stuff like that, but nothing really exciting to report.
Thanks, Chris.
Janelle Nally Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Janelle, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're just keeping busy. I really have nothing new to report.
Okay, thank you, Janelle.
You're welcome.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
There you go. Good morning, everyone. We're just enjoying the quiet of the holidays, and nothing really new to report.
Okay, thank you, Lisa. I like that background you got there. Is that it?
I have Zach James on here as well, but his audio is not connected yet, so I'm not.
Okay.
If he gets on here, I'll say something.
Okay. Okay, do you have any correspondence, Bob?
No.
I don't. Nobody's got any correspondence. We'll move on to discussion and vote. First up, the Compensation Board, salary recommendations, and that would be Mr. Cahill.
That's the one we've been waiting for so long.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. I'm going to give everybody a copy of some of these papers. If they have any interest in it, elected officials may have.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Terry, I gave you the original, but this is just a copy for you, if you want to follow along. Okay. Of course, we get to do this every year. Why do we get to do it every year? Why do we even have a Des Moines County Compensation Board? You know, it's really interesting. To me, it is. Iowa has compensation boards composed of citizens. And the theory is that we would have these citizens gather and establish salaries for elected officials. Kind of a neat idea. That keeps the elected officials with running off with the honeypot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You remember that? I brought you a honeypot today. See that?
Where did that come from?
That's the only one that probably understands the honey pot.
Yeah.
So I'll give you a side story. When I ran for the Board of Supervisors many years ago, I accused the supervisors, this is my campaign deal, I accused the supervisors of having a giant honey pot up there at the courthouse, and it was just full of all kinds of money that was unbudgeted for. And they could reach in that honey pot and have all these projects they wanted to do without anybody knowing about it. That, so that was kind of the honey pot campaign.
And that's, and how, much, and that's how much was in there, too.
That's nothing in there. That's what I found out when I got to the courthouse with the supervisor. There was no, not only there wasn't a honey pot, but there was no money in it anyway.
Yeah.
So that's why I brought you that honey pot, just as a reminder.
Well, thank you.
In your old age, you can look at that every day and remember the honey pot campaign. Because he's teased me about that for 20 years.
Turn around so I can see it.
It's just a honey pot. But I thought it was an interesting story. But it, you know, it's an interesting law. You remember a few years ago in California, these county councilmen or county supervisors or councilmen, whatever, they had the right to set their own salaries. Well, they thought they were doing a pretty good job. So they were all making $250,000 a year. Iowa, you can't do that. So we have this board comprised of myself, Sarah Schwartz is the secretary, Charles Walsh, Charles L. Walsh, Carol Copeland, our former auditor, is now on it, Jeff Heland, he was a former supervisor, Dwayne Worthy, and Marlis Roberts, an attorney on this board. And we gather, pursuant to Iowa law, section 331.905, each year, and we're supposed to survey what comparable salaries are for supervisors, for sheriffs, for auditors and recorders, and treasurer, all of the elected officials, and to make sure that everybody's getting a fair shot at the salaries. And so what we do, first thing we do is we check the Bureau of Labor Statistics, okay? To see what the inflation rate is in our area of the country. And this is as of October. It's really rather modest. It's only 1% right now. But we always check it just to make sure our salaries are kind of conform to what inflation, you know, it takes away from people as far as buying power. Well, this year it's really down. We also survey counties of similar size, the counties that are 5 in population, smaller than Des Moines County, and 5 counties that are larger than Des Moines counties. So we have 11 counties in our survey. And to see what, for example, we know what the salary is for the county attorney in Warren County, Clinton County, Muscatine County, Cerro Gordo, all of the various counties. Now you fellas have been through this all. Some people aren't familiar with what this board does, so that's why I kind of lengthened this out a little. So what I did was I wrote down, and you all have a copy of this paper, what the average salary is for an attorney. This is the average in this 11 counties that we select based on population. Well, as you'll see in this little chart I made, the average salary for the attorney, county attorney, in this 11 county area is $121,021 a year. See, that's the top. Well, the current salary for Des Moines County's attorney is $114,066. Okay, so we're really kind of short there. On an average, we're short, not paying our county attorney probably what she is worth. The auditor here in Des Moines County is currently at $73,642. I'm sorry, that's the average county, $73,642. Counties of average population. Our county auditor makes $71,114. Again, short, really short of what the average is. And I think our elected officials and officers of Duane County are superb in how they handle their jobs. We are so lucky that we have such good people. Our recorder,
ARC recorder is paid $69,991. The average for our 11 county area is, based on population now, is $72,765. So there again, we're substantially short of the average. Our sheriff, boy, this is the one that really gets nicked. And I mentioned that to several people already, we, at our meeting. Our sheriff is paid $94,790. The average in our 11 county area by population is $100,517. You've been working too cheap.
Been working too cheap for years.
And I'll just mention also the treasurer. Our treasurer is $70,452. The average is $72,409. So we're behind on that one too. Now the supervisors, your salary is $37,868. The average is $38,072. That's misleading. Our supervisors are underpaid. It looks like you're over, you know, or will be if you accept our thing. But some counties in this 11 county area have 5 supervisors. One of those counties are paid $40,000. You know. So the supervisors are really hard. So I looked at the average cost of having our supervisors in our county, and when you add all 3 salaries together, we're behind again the other counties. I know that's a tough one to figure. But okay, so going through the average salaries for all of these comparable counties and the labor statistics as to inflationary rates, our board, we discussed it, proposed a 3% raise for all of our eight elected officials, okay? So that's attorney, the auditor, recorder, sheriff, treasurer, and the 3 supervisors. And on this chart you see that I gave you a copy of, it shows what your salary would be with a 3% increase, okay? And you'll see that even with that 3% increase, we're still below it some of the cases. Now just for the attorney, for example, if the attorney gets a 3% raise, that she would be paid $117,047. She's still below the average, see? And not only is she below the average, all of the counties get together this time of year and raise the salary. So we're still gonna, when they raise theirs 2, 3, 4%, last year some of them were 4%. We're still gonna be behind again. But, so that's why. In fact, that's fairly true in all of these cases. Look at the auditor. The auditor with a 3% raise, the salary would then be $73,247. That's still below the average for the 11 county, even with this raise we propose. recorder, even with a 3% raise, the recorder will make $72,090, and the average in our 11 county area is $72,765, is still behind. And we're not even taking into consideration the races. The other, you know, as they say, this is like the arms race, you know, somebody does something and, you know, back and forth, you don't know where it's gonna end. The sheriff, even with a 3% raise, their salary would be $97,663, which is below the average of $100,517. We're still behind on that one. Now on the treasurer, that salary at a 3% increase, and I think it should be 4 or 5 probably, there in the auditor, that's my personal opinion, is the treasurer's gonna be $72,565, which is basically what the average is for the other treasurers. So that's why we came up with 3%, and we think it's fair, we think it's reasonable for the services we get from these people. And when you consider the amount of employees that they can, you know, they have under their control or whatever, decision-making powers, you know, they're really, I wouldn't say adequately paid, they're underpaid. And so that's why we came to 3%. Now, if look at the bottom of that little sheet I prepared. If we gave all of the elected officials a 3% raise, that is an additional cost to the county of $16,017 a year. I think the county can afford it. Now, it's going to cost a kind of more than that because deputies sometimes in each offices are paid to what the elected official makes. We don't have that. We don't know whether they're getting 80%, 85%. At least that's the way it always used to be, so I'm assuming that's still the way it is. So I can't give you the total cost, but I can tell you for the elected officials, it's only $16,017. When you consider the size of your budget, and actually, I think the county's in better shape than it was back in the honeypot days. We had days, people don't realize, we had days back there where we thought we were going to have to go at the end of the year, go borrow money to pay the salaries. That's how bad things were. And so the county has kind of come back, I think, financially. I'm hoping they have, I understand they have. So that's why we recommend this, the 3% raises. We thought they were reasonable. And we hope that you accept those raises in full. Now, we know the tendency always is for the supervisors to, you're all our people. You're out there in front more than most of the elected officials, basically. Might be afraid of what the voters might think, you're, you know, raising these salaries and things. But I think it's fair. Well, the board thinks it's fair and reasonable. Our board thinks it's fair and reasonable. And we voted unanimously this year on the 3% raise. So that's all we have there for you. We hope you accept it. And then this is my last year on that board because I'm tendering my resignation to the chairman. not because of you, Jim, specifically, but I'm gonna be 80 here in 2 weeks. And so when you're 80, you know, you start unplugging from some of the boards and things that you're on. And this is one. I'm going to stay on the Sheriff's Condemnation Board, by the way. I got a letter.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
And I want to stay on that. That'll be interesting. We never have any condemnations anymore.
Well, we might.
Well, that'd be good. I'd like to work on those. As I was involved when they put the freeway down Roosevelt Avenue years ago. Boy, we had a lot of hearings and things in those days. So there you have it, and then also my resignation.
Okay. Didn't we
appoint you to another board somewhere? Well, it's a sheriff's condemnation thing. It's a sheriff that takes care of that board.
Yeah.
You fellas take care of this board.
We're going to miss you on that.
Listen, I'm going to miss this place too, and I wanted to thank you for letting me be on this board. That's the other thing I wanted to say today. What about Bob?
Yeah.
Remember the movie?
Yeah.
What about Bob?
Yeah.
One of our favorite
saints. I got some knowledge out of that.
You've done an excellent, excellent job as a supervisor.
Well, thank you.
The county's going to miss you.
Yeah, you go back to the honeypot days.
Yeah.
And when we were in such desperate trouble, we sat here and you were part of that.
Woohoo! Boy, people don't realize. We were talking borrowing money, giving warrants. That's what counties do if you're out of money. You give the county, give us like a promise to pay someday. Okay, thanks so much.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Hey, Dan. Have a press conference.
Who are the other two elected officials?
Oh, there. Well, we got five.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Oh. Right. So we got really 8 elected officials.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay. See you all later.
See you, Dan. Glad to see you. Happy birthday, Lord.
Yeah, thank you.
Dan, is that yours now? Dan, is that your...
that's my historic briefcase down here.
Yeah, you know
what? Usually I get asked about that, especially at City Hall, those rascals.
Is it 80 also?
You know what? It's almost 80.
All right, so
tape. It's falling apart. They called me out on that City Hall when I did that TIF district here last year. I said, yeah, this thing's got a lot of work, but my mother gave me this when I graduated from law school.
Oh, really?
Wow. And that's been 56 years ago. So she was so proud of herself. She saved up some money and bought me, as she said, a genuine leather briefcase that I would need.
Yeah.
So I refused to get rid of it.
I assume that's not genuine leather.
I'm not sure it is genuine. It's probably virgin vinyl, but she didn't know the difference.
Okay. Well, I got to say, while Dan was here and we were going through all that, that is the reason why this Board of Supervisors is no longer in charge.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. When Tom Broker, you know, he's a budget cutter, that guy.
Yeah.
We all know that, you know, the county. And I was going to tell that story. Thanks for reminding me.
Right.
Wow. The very first motion
that when Bob got, or when Tom got elected to the board, and I was gonna be the chairman that year, I made the motion to do away with the county supervisor's insurance coverage. Well, we didn't get much play on that, except Bob, I think, was the one that was really affected by it, because his family had that insurance. It saved the county about $50,000 a year.
No, I didn't have it. I got it off my wife's.
He has my bet. And I was 65 or some darn thing, so I got, and Tom probably had it through his company. Anyway, it saved the county $50,000 a year, really. And we did that because we were kind of out of money on it. And thanks for remembering that. And we still, you still don't get insurance, do you?
No, and.
Does that bug you?
No, no. It doesn't. I think it's good.
We're the only county, I think, in the state where supervisors don't get health coverage.
There's one other, I think.
Is there?
Tom, yeah, Tom told me, is there another?
Okay, very rare, very rare, and you guys are gonna be applauded for accepting that.
But nobody else works with the county. Part-time is considered part-time job, without insurance, so.
Okay, everybody's similar. It's a state code-type job. And, you know, in Des Moines, it's the same, they do the same things you guys do, but they got five guys, they got two assistant managers. And the supervisors make $170,000 a year. And I'm sure they have insurance, and probably a car. By the way, at the same time we did that, we did away with mileage for, you know, your local stuff, and cell phones. That time, one or two of the cell, and everyone's like,
Yeah, we did away with cell phones.
Yeah, the cell phone, of course, he charged that on the county. We did away with that too. County doesn't pay your cell phones, do they? So, anyway, Des Moines County is run lean and mean and does a fantastic job, and I've always been proud of it.
Yeah.
Proud of the employees.
You bet.
We got a great thing going down here. And if people would go to this five-member board thing, it's just ridiculous. You could have the five greatest guys in your county be in one district, and they can't all be on the board.
Yeah.
Lee County does it. Enough preaching, I'm out of here.
Well, it didn't work in Lynn County. They know, they only had it, what, 2 or 3 years, and they went right back to.
Did they go back to three?
Yeah.
Yeah, and at about $75,000 a year, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, or more. See you, please.
See you, take care.
Enjoy your time.
Thanks, man. We really appreciate everything you've done for us. You bet. Bye.
We should have been putting that insurance in there, the honeymoon, because that's saving, if you had the family policy, $20,000, that's $60,000 a year that we've been saving for insurance.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, make a nice honey pot.
Yep.
Make a nice honey pot. It'd be good for Bob's retirement.
Which Bob? Your Bob's are.
Yeah, well, six won't have done the other thing.
Okay, moving on. I think we should table this till we find out where we're gonna be for sure.
Yes, I think you have to accept it, and I think you should, you're gonna need the budget.
Yep.
So you know where you are, if you've got the money to pay it.
Yeah, you guys usually just receive it.
Yep, we're just gonna receive it. And,
He may not even come home if he knew we would have already.
Yep. Okay, moving on, approval of the official newspapers for 2021.
I make a motion that we approve the Hawkeye, the Minneapolis News, and Des Moines County News.
I'll second that. Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
The same Dan got out of here before he did the beer business.
What's that? Beer permit license for the River Mart.
Move to approve.
I will second that.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Now we have a Class E liquor license for the River Mart.
Move to approve.
Second it. Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
I assume the sheriff would be speaking up if there was something wrong with it.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay, now we have a resolution amending early retirement health reimbursements account plan.
Move to approve.
Anybody mind if I don't read this?
Why don't you read it into the record, Jim?
What's that?
Why don't you read it into the record?
Yeah. Okay, this resolution number 2020-054, early retirement health reimbursement account plan. Whereas county health reimbursement account plan, the county has established an early retired health reimbursement account plan that provides specific benefits to employees of the county who retire. Whereas the county has determined it wants to expand the scope of the benefits that it offers pursuant to the plan for elected officials of the county, specifically former employees before becoming elected officials who retire. Now therefore be it resolved by the Board of Supervisors and for Des Moines County, Iowa, that it has been determined that it is in the best interest of the public to the county and to be elected officials to amend the plan with the following, effective December 1st, 2020, close Class B to any contribution full-time sheriff deputies with 32 or more years of service with the county, and add Class C elected officials who were prior county employees upon retirement will receive payout of unused sick leave based on the county's retiring unused sick leave program. Be it further resolved that the chairman of the Board of Supervisors, acting on behalf of the Board of Supervisors, be authorized and directed to sign update plan documents effective the same. This resolution shall be in effect upon the passage of the approval by, as provided by law. You move to approve this?
Sure.
I'll second this. Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. We have a resolution setting the time and date of the fiscal year 21 budget amendment hearing. Okay. Resolution setting for the hearing, resolution number 2020-055. The Board of Supervisors hereby fixes the time and place for a public hearing on the fiscal year 21 budget amendment for Tuesday, January the 5th, 2021 at 9 a.m. in the boardroom of the Des Moines County Courthouse. The Des Moines County Budget Director is hereby directed to publish the notice and estimated summary as required by law. The resolution shall take effect immediately.
Okay. Doesn't make any difference.
I'll second it then. Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Okay, we have an appointment to the township trustees. Okay, Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, I'm requesting your approval for a four-year term appointment as Franklin Trustee Township. Kurt Hansen, 13049 Dodgeville, Rochebury, Iowa. You want to do all these at once?
Yeah, why don't you do them all together? That's how we did them the last time, is just run them all and do them all at once.
The next one is, I'm requesting your approval for a four-year term is for Tama trustees is Marvin Townsend, is it?
Thompson.
Thompson. And for the Tama trustees, Laverne R. Neal. For Union trustees is Roger Wollum.
Robert Wollum.
Robert.
Robert.
It is Robert. Boy, good thing you're sitting back there.
She can see it from back there.
Yeah. For Yellow Springs is Dan Wirt. And another one for Yellow Springs is James D. Mahaffey.
And let me say, before I make the motion to accept them, the township trustees are an unrecognized group of people that do a very needy job in this, in the county. They take care of squabbles between neighbors, which I assume that the sheriff's department can say is not always fun. And take care of our fire departments. They're very valuable people. And I would definitely approve each one of them.
I'll second that. Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Personnel actions for the correctional center. We have Curtis Kenny. It's 2 days unpaid, 16 and a half hours suspension. We have another for Curtis Kenny. Another 2 days suspension for 16 and a half hours. And then we have another for Curtis Kenny, which is resignation.
Move to approve.
Okay. Second, Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Okay, I have for the sheriff's office, Colton Atkins, anniversary, 18-month step-in grades, grievous rate, $51,833. The new rate, $54,882.04.
Move to approve.
Okay.
You got two of them there.
I got two of them here.
No.
Second one's for Thomas Seitz. Deputy, 18-month increase. Previous rate, $51,833.06. The new rate is $54,882.04.
Move to approve.
Terry?
Jim, did you second that?
Yes.
Okay. Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Okay, we have the reports. These will be on file for your viewing in the auditor's office. It's the sheriff's monthly report. You're viewing or online. We have the minutes for the regular meeting on December the 15th of 2020.
Move to approve.
Second, Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Do we have any other business?
Have none.
Future agenda items?
I have none.
None. Committee reports?
Have none.
I had a community action meeting on Zoom. And quite frankly, I didn't get anything out of it because the audio didn't work. So
I've been to those meetings.
But I watched the hands go, so sorry about that. Also had a Southeast Iowa Crime Commission, and left my paperwork in there, but they said that they had 53 new correctional officers and deputies that they've trained this year so far. And in training, and they recertified 160 some. Dancing music. So, and then I had a juvenile detention meeting, and our numbers are down on juvenile detention because I think it's due to the COVID. So for days spent and what it cost us last year at this time, I do remember these figures, $94,000 for July through November. This year, July through November, it's cost us $41,000, so that's quite a savings. So it's I don't know if COVID has anything to do with it or not, but you know, the sheriff's department, they'd more likely know.
I would certainly think so. Our adult out of county is, we budgeted $400,000 this year, and we're looking to be about half that as well.
Yeah.
And it's just some of the steps we've taken to reduce people coming in and out of the jail to avoid the virus coming in. Mm-hmm. So it's steps, and we're looking at those for the future too, to try to monitor those jail numbers and what steps we can take while still taking care of the citizens and keeping people off the streets that shouldn't be out there. But it's definitely been a cost savings and one of those side effects of COVID.
That's the only good thing about COVID. So and that's all I had. Public input. We have anybody from the public that would like to speak, or if you call in, you can email the board supervisors at board@dmcounty.com or call 319-753-8203, extension 4, and we will give you 2 minutes to do this.
Yeah, Zach James from Land Use on here. He wanted to make a quick comment.
Yeah. Zach James, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Perfect. Good morning.
Good morning.
Not a whole lot new to report. It's been pretty quiet here the last couple weeks, which has been nice because it's been a pretty busy fall. We do have a subdivision out for review. Probably will be on the agenda in early January. And then we're continuing to finalize the land use ordinance update. So continue to slowly go down that path. I think it'll take a few months just to get the approval process done, but we're starting to look at a schedule for trying to get everything approved. So I have to keep working on that. And then just from the planning commission standpoint, we're just going to highlight we approved our annual report last week, and we'll be sending those out just to highlight some of the things we did last year as an organization. And just also wanted to recognize real quick Mr. Beck for his years of service on the Planning Commission Board. I've been here for 15 years, and I don't know if Bob's been on our board that entire time, but I don't remember a time when he wasn't on our board. And we just appreciate his service, and it's gonna be unique times without him on our board, but we look forward to somebody else joining. But just wanted to thank and recognize Bob for his years of service on the Planning Commission Board.
Thank you, Zach. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Been a pleasure, Bob.
Yes, it has. You're a very good member of that organization out there.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, have a good one.
Yeah. Like, time's up, gentlemen.
And I just want to remind everybody that next week, December the 29th, after we get done with our regular business, we will swear in the elected officials.
Then you start swearing at them.
Terry, will we plan on doing that in this room, or
I don't know where else we'd go.
I didn't know if we could check on one of the courtrooms upstairs or not. And the only reason I mentioned that, I think there might be a few others that might.
You mean a few of your family members are going to come?
Well, I think some of the deputies were asking about coming as well.
Okay. Well, I can check with Jackie and see if the courtroom, we can move it upstairs. Mm-hmm. I'll check with her, so.
If you do that, let me know, because my wife wanted to come, and I told her she couldn't.
Okay, well, we'll see what we can do. And
that was not good.
Since they aren't having courts, we'll see if we can use the big room.
Okay. With an eye?
Hold on.
Hold on, you got Bob.
Sorry about that.
Where's Mr. Brooke?
On vacation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's not sick.
He's celebrating Christmas with his family in the South somewhere.
Grandkids.
In the mountains, I think.
Yep.
I
don't know.
Cool. Thank you, sir.
Anybody else? With an eye, we're out of here.
Aye.
Aye.